This is Jim Inkster, and welcome to Talk Louisiana, originating from Investar Tower in Baton Rouge. Robin Dow and Renee Martin are producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. Emails are directed to talk@talklouisiana.org. We are 20 days away from the presidential election of 2024, and we will talk with two people who are intricately involved not only in the presidential election as pollsters, but also with races across the country. And every race for Congress is on the ballot this year as well, including all of them in Louisiana, all six of them. And we hope that people will vote. And in this case, probably imploring people to vote is not necessary because in Louisiana, we vote in big numbers. To put it in perspective, we voted in larger numbers on a percentage basis than the residents of Georgia did in the last presidential election. And we have among the top seven states people registered to vote. So we have a big, big turnout for presidential elections. Not so much for state races anymore. But Dr. Jim Kitchens, who's based in Florida, has a PhD in political communication from the great school in Gainesville, the University of Florida, and has practiced his craft as a pollster since 1983 when he founded the Kitchens Group. He is with us. Among his accomplishments as a pollster and strategist, he's elected governors, U.S. senators, 50 members of the U.S. Congress, and he is polling all across the country, but in particular the swing states, the seven states that are supposedly going to decide this election, and I don't think it's supposedly, they will decide who wins the presidential election. And there are races in those states that are tight that could determine the outcome of who controls the House and the Senate. And Jim is joined by a young man in a hurry who's doing great work in Shreveport, Bishop George, who is the person who is the founder of Vantage Data. And a recent story says, forget traditional polling firms. Vantage Data House is revolutionizing how campaigns, media, and policymakers access data with the first ever membership-based polling platform. With less than 50 days, that's when the story was written, now 20 days until the 2024 presidential election, Vantage is offering free access to its platform, which includes daily polling from eight battleground states, and for the first time ever, comprehensive polling data worth millions of dollars is available at no cost. Now, they are doing things that nobody else has done before, and it involves a wider sample of voters. And Jim, you obviously are on the front lines. It's your baby along with Bishop George. Tell us more about how this is working, and particularly in the states that are up for grabs.
Well, what we did was I took a methodology that's new to American politics. It's been used by Pew Research in Europe. It's used by the Census Bureau. And what it is, it's a form of data modeling, which has become a very, very large part of market research in the country. But nobody had applied it to politics. So what we do is, like when we went into Louisiana, if you look at a normal statewide poll that's reported, they'll have 600 to 800 interviews. We'll go in and do 3,000. And from that 3,000, we have algorithms that can not only look at the statewide races, but drill it down to the congressional races, the state Senate races, and the state House races. So, and even down to the parish level. So we are using basically big data and analyzing data modeling, a data modeling system to look at the election. Now, one of the things that happened is that Bishop and I did Louisiana. We did 30 races in 2023. And in Louisiana, and we were working everything basically by hand. It was like doing long division by hand in the fourth grade. It takes a little time. So we decided, after that, we had to automate it. So we hired a engineering software firm, and we have now built this platform where everything is automated. And we're polling. We're looking at the most 1,200 recent interviews in all these states, and we're doing 300 to 400 a night in every one of the states of fresh interviews, looking at the most current 1,200. Mm-hmm. So we have real-time data.
Well, what did your success record look like last year? Obviously, it was good enough to propel you into a new realm on this, in which you've gone nationwide. I heard it was quite good.
Well, we did 29 out of 30 races of predicting as much as 5 months before the election. We saw Jeff Landry winning without a runoff. It was very good. Now, one of the things we did, we've done several things. We have tested the system by using our projection modeling. It's called Authentic Predictive Projections. We have used that methodology and then gone into districts and done traditional polling where we poll just in that district, 400 sample, to compare the data. And what you find is that the data matches up every time. We've used it in Kansas, we've used it in Nevada, we used it in Florida. In fact, in Florida, I took about a month ago a poll in where I live, Orange County, which is Orlando. We did a poll in Orange County on the presidential to see how it was looking. Then I took our data from Florida and projected it, and everything was within 1 point of each other where the two polls fell. So we've proven the methodology. We've also had it academically reviewed by a full professor at the University of Kansas and another one at the University of Missouri, just to see if they saw anything in the methodology. And they both said it was sound methodology according to social science standards. But it totally changes the model of the way you do polls.
I mentioned Bishop George, and you did too, and he is a young man who will be around a while, and he's a specialist in digital media, but he also is a graduate of the Virginia Military Institute. And how did the two of you get together?
Yeah, so after I graduated Virginia Military Institute and got my degree in political science, my first hopes and dreams was actually going into the Navy. Unfortunately, I was injured and got out, and I was really looking for something to do. And there's two things I love, which is politics and data. And so just kind of asking around, I wanted to find the best pollster to go and work for and learn from. And hands down, every single person I talked to said, you need to go find Dr. Kitchens. He is the best. So I called Dr. Kitchens up around 3.5 years ago and went to go work for the Kitchens Group. And kind of during that time, I was constantly asking myself, it's like, why is it so expensive to conduct a poll? I mean, one poll, it costs anywhere from $15,000 to $80,000 plus. And we constantly had, PACs, associations, campaigns, or even, high net worth individuals want more and more of this data, but they simply couldn't afford it. If you're a group and you're involved in 30 different races, you're saying, hey, I need a poll in every one of these races, and they cost $15,000 to $80,000. It's impossible to obtain. And so this is how I went to Jim, and I was like, Jim, we got to figure this out. There's no way this data should be costing this much. And we spent the next, 3 years trying to, drop the price of polling. And we successfully did so and decided to start, Vantage Data House together.
And we will get into how the public, our audience, you can access data. But right now, these two gentlemen are doing things that have not been done, and they have a wider group of people as their sample. Does that necessarily mean that it's a better sample, Jim, when you have more people involved?
No. It does not automatically mean you have a better sample. Your sample has to be balanced on what you know as the demographics, which are generally people who vote in either our samples. We get people who vote in either 20 or 22. Or 23 in Louisiana's case, into the sample. But then we look at the historical areas, and every state is divided into geographic areas by demographers based somewhat upon lifestyle and cultural factors. So we have the states broken down by region. And so when we look at how many people we get a people, but then the algorithm says, okay, what is the weight or what percentage is black or is white or lives in this area versus another area? What is their age? What is their education level, which is important? What is their gender and what is their party registration? And all of those factors go into an algorithm So when you look at a district, we look at the data, it is balanced upon all those factors for us mathematically. And that's why it's better. Now, as we get a bigger sample in any given area, it will reduce the margin of error. But if your sample is skewed, it doesn't matter. The data will be wrong. So it's not just a matter of numbers. It's a matter of the way you analyze the data.
You're hearing the voices of Jim Kitchens of the Kitchens Group, who is one of the foremost pollsters in America, who's done much of his work in Louisiana, and has mentioned 50 members of Congress have been elected with his strategies. They were clients, as well as Governor John Bel Edwards and other people running for other offices. But he's being joined by a young man, Bishop George, from Vantage Data House in Louisiana, and we'll talk with him about what the data is showing. 877-217-5757. Back after this. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. And your number is 877-217-5757. Please send emails to talk@talklouisiana.org. Jim Kitchens, the well-known pollster, recognized nationally and has now been in the game for 41 years. Dr. Kitchens is based in Orlando, but spends a lot of quality time in our state. And a young man from Louisiana, Bishop George, they have collaborated and are doing groundbreaking work on polling, which involves a much larger sampling, and they're doing it in swing states and in Louisiana right now. And the data, of course, is something that people hold near and dear, and as Bishop said, they pay a lot to get. Now, you can find all kinds of stuff on the internet about where the race for president is right now. And according to the Real Clear Politics polling average, Kamala Harris leads Donald Trump by 1.7%. But when you look at the favorite for the election right now in Las Vegas, Trump is given a 57% chance of winning. Is that consistent, Jim, with what your data is showing right now?
Well, not exactly. We are into every state. And I think the odds in Vegas will change. I think it will get much closer as we go. One of the things we're seeing, it's kind of a circular thing. People releasing polls, and there was an article yesterday called the fake polls, that they want the race to stay close. Both campaigns want the race to stay close. That's the way they motivate their voters to go vote, saying it's important. It's also a way of fundraising, saying we need more money. It's close. It also makes good story for the news media, and they will keep the race on the front burner with this. And so when you look at this at this point, there's several factors going in here that would say that this race is close, and because it's much. I think that's too high a percentage to give either candidate right now of winning. One of the reasons is there is a huge gender gap. It varies somewhat between states, but there is sometimes much as a 12 or 13 point advantage to Kamala Harris among women, where the advantage among Trump among men is half that. So, you know, it all comes down, as we know, to six or seven states. Although we're starting to add Florida in as a potential as we're looking at things, because it's gotten very close down here.
All right, hold that thought. Hold that thought. Now, Florida, of course, did decide the 2000 election, and a recount was stopped, but 537 votes was the difference, and without the calamity in Broward County, Al Gore would have been the president of the United States, and he did win the overall vote. But Florida was the... It was the state that decided it all, and George Bush won in the Electoral College 271 to 269. Can't get any closer than that. But you're actually saying that Florida, which is veered red and is now the home state of Donald Trump, is competitive? I haven't heard that anywhere else, Jim. What does your data show that would make Florida a swing state all of a sudden?
Well, there's a couple of things. We have a couple of... ballot amendments, one to override the legislature's change of the abortion law, and another one to legalize recreational marijuana in the state. And that seems to be driving younger voters. And when you look at it, Kamala Harris support by age group is much stronger among the younger voters. For example, you know, she wins every age group in Florida below 50 years old. And Donald Trump wins above 50 years old, but she's winning everything when you go 50 years old and below. And we're going to, and the, these referendum are helping fire up people about the turnout. We also are looking at the gender gap here. Donald Trump gets 44% of the women and Kamala Harris gets 52. That's an 8-point differential in women. And women normally make up 54% of the electorate in Florida. Trump leads 50-44 against of over men. Now, you know, a lot of people have faced it down on party because the Republicans have done a huge voter registration drive ever since before 2022 and had been very successful with it, winning, you know, getting like a million more registered Republicans and Democrats. The problem is Donald Trump's only pulling out 86% of his Republicans, and he's losing among independents. And we're seeing this movement in every state. He's losing independents in the state 59-33.
Okay.
So that shuts the race down within 2 points of each other.
All right, 2 points. And 2 points in a big state means a lot of votes, but the fact that Trump is in trouble in Florida is telling. But if he wins, he wins, and he gets all the electoral votes.
That's right.
Every one of them, and I think that's 30, isn't it? Isn't it 30? It's a bunch. Mm-hmm. It's enough that if Harris wins Florida, the race is over. Let's face it. She's the president.
That's right.
She's the president. So right now, if you were making a prediction, right now, 20 days out, if the election were today, who wins?
Well, I would say if I were doing a projection today, I'd say there's probably percentage-wise a 52% chance that Trump's going to be the next president, maybe 48 to Harris. If you're handicapping the race. And the reason why I say that is partly because of the demographics of the electorate. If there's a slippage in turnout, it usually occurs among younger voters and minority voters, both of which are a critical basis for the Kamala Harris campaign. So if you have any slippage in turnout, you're going to see it hurt her more than him. He's got his base. He's got his vote. Those people are going to vote. He is not expanding. Donald Trump has not expanded his vote base at all since he started running. The problem Democrats have is, can they outvote him? His voters, if you look at voter enthusiasm, we ask people, are you more interested in this race than you were? Everybody is more interested, they say, than they were 4 years ago.
Well, how are the other
95%?
And Jim Kitchens, I'm not blowing smoke. He is quite possibly the best pollster in America. And if he says Florida's in play, it's in play. But the other swing states, how are they looking right now?
Bishop, you got the numbers handy. You want to just run through them?
Bishop George?
Yeah.
Looking at the numbers right now as we speak, 20 days before November 5th. Bishop? What does Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, those are the big three. What do they show?
Yep. So Michigan right now, we have 49.2 to Harris 48.2 with 0.9 percent undecided.
So who has the 49.2?
Trump.
So he's ahead in Michigan, and Harris has to have Michigan. Okay, that's not good for Harris. What are the others to show?
So Nevada, we have 47-47 with 2.3% undecided.
Tied, okay. That's good for Harris. That's a state that she probably could lose and still win if the others go her way. So we've got five more.
Yep, we've got Arizona right now at 45.5 to Trump, to Harris at 49.7
so
with 1.67% undecided.
So she's ahead in Arizona, okay. And
that is from today.
And Biden won Arizona, but that's a bigger margin than I would have anticipated, but that's very good news for Harris. And what about the others?
So one thing for Arizona, I will say, is yesterday we had the race tied, and after uploading data from today, she had a pretty significant increase. And one thing that we're seeing is independents breaking really hard for Harris. I do think this is going to normalize.
Okay, what about Pennsylvania? That's the one that may very well be the state. How's Pennsylvania looking?
So right now, Harris is up 2 in Pennsylvania.
Okay. North Carolina?
So North Carolina, we believe Harris is pretty dominant. We have her at 52% to Trump's 45%.
Okay.
Trump.
Hold that thought. We do have to take a break, but we'll return and get more from Jim Kitchens and Bishop George after this. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana, and we're giving you a lot of numbers, but these numbers are important, and ultimately the numbers will tell the story in the 2024 presidential election, which is expected to be close. And we've got Jim Kitchens, Dr. Kitchens, and Bishop George, who have been crunching more numbers than anybody in the country, not only for president, but for Congress, and we'll briefly get their take on where we are in the races for the House and Senate as far as who will likely be in control. But right now, some of these swing state numbers are encouraging for Kamala Harris, who has been sliding a bit in the polls in recent days. But the numbers for the swing states show her, for example, ahead in North Carolina and within striking distance in Florida, which Jim now lists as a swing state. And not only is he crunching numbers in Florida, he lives there, so he knows the terrain well. But Georgia, what about Georgia, Bishop? How is it looking right now?
Yep, so we also have, as of today, and when I say today, from the data yesterday, we uploaded each morning, we have Harris up 6 in Georgia.
Up 6.
So things are starting to break very heavy for Harris. And I'm looking at it right now on our platform. And right now, today, independents look like a V. They're pretty much breaking very hard for Harris at this point.
Well, we will talk more, but it looks like it's been a good week for Harris. And sometimes when you look at polls, they're several days behind, and it takes about a week to actually get what's going on. And then those polls are behind, too. But at this point, it looks like it's been a very good week for Kamala Harris, Jim Kitchens.
Yeah, it has been. And if this continues, as the word gets out, as polls come out, you'll see the odds change in Vegas to probably favor her. One of the problems of being a pollster is everybody also wants you to be a fortune teller and say, you know, what's going to happen in the future. And if I could control all my candidates to do exactly what I thought they should do, maybe that would work. But, you know, we have to put up with real humans reviewing real things and current events and things like that. So, yeah, it has been a good week for Harris. And one of the problems Trump has in these swing states, he's got some weak candidates running with him. In North Carolina, the Republican running for governor is getting landslided because he's, I don't know if you've been following
campaign. He's crazy, at least what he says. Is crazy. And that can't be disregarded.
The people in this Louisiana who know what a governor's race means, they're similar in North Carolina. But being governor, and the governor is a very important vision of their state and definition of who their state is. And he's getting killed, and I think it's dragging Trump and the Republicans down.
Okay.
We have every single statewide office, the Democrats in the lead right now.
Well, Republicans can be more buoyant about what's looking like for the Senate. How's the U.S. Senate looking right now, Jim?
It's hard to see the Democrats taking the Senate back. Bishop was just doing some analysis of it before we got on the phone. Bishop, why don't you weigh in here?
Yeah, so right now, because we're just in the 7 states, and every state that we're currently in, we do have the Democrat up in the U.S. Senate besides Florida, which is Rick Scott and Debbie Powell, which is also very close.
Yeah, so that people may not realize it, but there is a close race for Senate in Florida as well, and Democrats have to win in some unusual places to retain control. Texas is another one where they believe they have a shot, but go ahead. I think Cruz will probably hold on, albeit close, but right now it looks like John Neely Kennedy and Bill Cassidy will be in the majority come next year when the U.S. Senate convenes in January.
Yep. So we have Nevada, Jackie Rosen winning, Arizona, Ruben Gallego winning. In Florida, it's pretty much a toss-up right now from our current data. Pennsylvania, we think Bob Casey, still takes it. And then in, and that's really it for the U.S. Senate. And then besides Texas and, West Virginia, Maine, New Hampshire, we don't have data there, so we can't tell you otherwise, but it would be a miracle for the Democrats to flip the Senate.
Okay. Well, for those, and I'd love to have you back before the election. I know you guys are really busy, obviously, but for those who would like to access this information, what's the best way to get to Vantage Data and to the Kitchens Group and find out what really is going on in the 2024 election? Jim, what's the best way?
If they'll go to the website, www.advantagedatahouse.com. That's our website. And up in the right-hand corner, it says sign up for free presidential polls. They can't dig into our whole library, but you can watch the presidential race there for free.
But you can watch the presidential race, which is the big enchilada, advantagedatahouse.com. So, Jim, thank you so much, and I'll be in touch with you, of course, off the air, but on the air, hopefully we can get you and Bishop back, and congrats on what you're doing to revolutionize the polling game. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sirs.
Thank you.
And we're joined in studio now by E. Eric Gayrard, a trial lawyer, and yesterday we had Faye Williams on, who's a big Democratic stalwart, and Eric has become a big Republican stalwart. I went to college with him, and I remember back in the year of 1980, he was backing none other than Ted Kennedy for president of the United States of America. Ted Kennedy, he doesn't like to be reminded of that. But he always liked flamboyant candidates, and as we know, nobody is more flamboyant than Donald John Trump. And Trump has been rewarded. Some candidates, as we know through the years, would be punished for being individuals, but Trump is the iconoclast of all candidates, breaking all the rules, and he did so again the other night. Robin Down, Renee Martin have pulled up Lawrence O'Donnell's commentary on Trump's meeting with supporters, and he went into a sway for about 45 minutes on stage, just stopped the town hall meeting and started, I wouldn't call it dancing, just swaying to the music. And the song that was blaring most of the time, I'm told, was, as Lawrence said, a song that is one that you wouldn't think would be in Donald Trump's catalog of favorites, but apparently it is. You'll remember it, Village People. What was that, 1978?
It's an old one.
Yeah, YMCA. Here we go. Here's Lawrence O'Donnell on what happened.
Donald Trump's most consistent favorite song ever played at his political rallies is the gayest song that any presidential candidate has ever decided to lose himself in on stage. When the gay-themed group The Village People released YMCA in 1978, it instantly became a joyous anthem to gay America that was musically uplifting and fun to dance to for everyone, including millions of people who actually had no idea just how gay the song was. Yesterday, Donald Trump seemed to have no idea where he was while drowning in the sound of a 46-year-old song released when Donald Trump was a 32-year-old. Leaning against the wall of New York nightclubs, watching people who could really dance while YMCA was playing.
It's fun to stay at the YMCA. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. They have everything for you to enjoy.
A All right, and there is Trump swaying to the music in the Philadelphia suburbs in the city of brotherly love. He's dancing to, and I wouldn't call it dancing, but he was moving, swaying, and
rhythmically
seemed to be enjoying himself. And Eric Gayrard is here, who has a new album out, by the way, called Dehyphenate. But your man, he liked the Village People a lot. Some might think that's not the kind of image he would want to project, but as I said, Donald Trump breaks all the rules, Eric Gayrard.
Well,
and you like him a lot.
I do like him a lot. And, of course, hate to age ourselves, but as you used to say on American Bandstand, it has a good beat and you can dance to it. So YMCA is fun for everybody. I don't think a lot of people even think about it as a gay
song. Well, I remember the Village People actually performed in Baton Rouge. It's been more than 20 years, but the late Reverend David Diamond led a protest because they were having the Village People downtown Baton Rouge. But a lot of people showed up, and I was in that number, and it was a great song. But can you imagine if Kamala Harris just stopped a rally and started swaying to the music for 45 minutes?
Well, to be clear on that, there was a medical emergency for two people in the crowd. And so Trump said, well, let's stop the questions. And while they're tending to that, let's play some music.
For 45 minutes. And then that was it. He didn't come back and answer any more questions.
He must have had the He was full of the right questions.
But you're standing by the Donald, and it's a tight race. He could end up being the 47th American president. He could be the modern-day Grover Cleveland. But as I mentioned, Eric Gayrard, we're going to talk about him about a few things. He has a new album out. It's called Dehyphenate. Can we pull up Dehyphenate, Renee? Politics, patriotism, passion from Eric Gayrard, entertainer at law. Here we go.
Dehyphenate and stop the hate. Assimilate. Keep America great, dehyphenate, and stop the hate, assimilate, keep America great, an epidermis epidemic racing across our land, skin deep in hate, cause color commands.
You're not bad.
Well, there aren't many 66-year-old white lawyer conservative rappers in this country. I think I have an itch.
Well, you're a trial lawyer, too, and most of your clients are poor black people. That's fair, isn't it?
I would say two-thirds.
Two-thirds. They're probably not statistically likely to be voting for Donald Trump.
Probably not, though it is skewing, you know, a little further in Trump's direction than historically.
Maybe 12% instead of 8%, something like that. But
it might be enough in a close election.
You're right. It might be. But some of your clients might not be happy, but Eric Gayrard, he's always been a guy who takes chances, kind of like the man he admires. And we'll talk with him more about Election 2024 on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Eric Gayrard, entertainer at law, is in the House. A longtime trial lawyer. 41 years ago, he declared, almost 41 years now, he declared his independence. He was working for one Morris Buddy Bart. And Eric took the town by storm, and he had a few years on the sidelines, but has been back with a vengeance. And as noted, he takes chances, and he's got a rap album out, another one. He did so twice before, I believe.
Once before. Rap, reggae,
well, you
and
did
rock.
A tax rap, right? You
well, that was... There was the Tea Party anthem. Tax-oriented messages.
Okay. But this one is Dehyphenate. And you've written all the songs?
Absolutely. It's available wherever you buy streaming music, by the way. Dehyphenate. And what that means, simply, is we get to get rid of the hyphens in America. You know, since I was very young, I believe in we should have racial equality, and you shouldn't be African-American or Caucasian-American, Hispanic-American. You just should be an American, so you get rid of the hyphens, you de-hyphenate, my word. So, and that's what the song's about, and that's the message. I think it's a message straight from Dr. King.
Okay. 877-217-5757. We'll take a few calls. But Eric was on this show 7 years ago, and he had just had a tortured breakup with a girl he loved, Michelle Smith, who dumped him because of Donald Trump, but Eric's support for Donald Trump. And he tried hard. I think they briefly got back together, and then they went their separate ways. But here was Michelle explaining. We got Michelle explaining why she just couldn't take it. She could not handle it.
Well, actually, On our very first date, yeah, Eric gave me a copy of his rap CD and Chocolates and the Stuffed Animal. And that was definitely a first for me.
Thoughtful
but
guy.
But yes, I listened to the rap CD and I understood his political views. And I absolutely agree. You know, a healthy debate is wonderful and I'm happy to engage in that sort of thing. But when I began to learn that this actually, not to use the word consume, but represents a lot of Eric's life and a lot of his personality, you know, that's when I said, that's not for me.
All right. you were dumped because of Trump?
I was, and it was such an odd situation. So I have to write a song about this. And we did a video, and Michelle was kind enough to play her role in the video, which you can see on YouTube.
Dan downtown. Dan, you're on with E. Eric Gayrard. Good morning, Dan.
Yes. Congrats on your vocal conquest. But
thank you.
In supporting Trump, does it give you any pause that he has bragged about watching teenage beauty contestants undress?
He did that on the Howard Stern show, and he did actually do it. But as I said, Trump broke all the rules and is still breaking them and gets away with it. We'll find out if he gets away with it again on November 5th. But E. Eric Gayrard, some people say don't take Donald Trump literally. But it's when people talk about watching little girls get undressed and enjoying it, usually that would finish a political candidate. But Donald Trump, no. Why?
Well, he does tend to say some outrageous things, and he's one for exaggeration. And so you have to take anything he says with a little bit of a grain of salt, but you have to, if at the end of the day, you look at his policies. And what's better for America, you look at his policies.
James in Metairie. James, you're on with E. Eric Gayrard. Hi, James.
Hi, Jim. Good morning. Hello to your guest. Mr. Gayrard, you apparently are an attorney and officer of the court. Donald Trump is a convicted criminal. Convicted felon. Mm-hmm. He was adjudicated as sexual assault, not just sexual harassment against a woman. It would have been, in today's law, it would have been called rape. His father was arrested. And
okay.
I'm just saying, how can, as an attorney, how can you support this low-life bum?
Do you believe in Russian courts too, sir? I mean, you know, the judiciary can be tainted also.
It can, but This is not Brittany Griner. This is not Alexei Navalny.
I think it's past that, frankly.
Really?
I do.
You think he got railroaded in four different venues?
Yes, absolutely, 100%.
Actually, five different if you count the civil case that James said. Well, and a lot of his supporters believe this, but there have been other. Did people weep when Edwin Edwards went to jail for 8.5 years? John Edwards, the Democratic vice presidential nominee from 2004, was tried on the same charges Trump was. There was a hung jury or he would have gone to jail.
Yeah,
so it's not new.
And it was all overturned later, all the other allegations in that particular situation.
And Edwards, he was never convicted.
Right. So, so you have to look at the end of the day, what happens at the end. And
he's appealing. And if he's elected president, I suspect it'll go away. But what if he's not elected? Will he go to jail?
I think it's all political, so it goes away either way.
877-217-5757 for E. Eric Gayrard, staunchly in support of Donald John Trump, despite the fact that most of his clients are not. James in Longview, Texas. James, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, James. Do we have James? Okay. Let's go to... Tell me where to go, Renee and Robin. Is that Chuck in Spillman, Louisiana? Chuck, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hey, Chuck, you're on the air.
How y'all doing this morning?
Fine. What's going on?
I got a question for Mr. Gayrard. You know, everybody's bashing Trump about accused of being of sexual assault. Well, what do you think of our current president taking showers with...
All right. I don't know that Joe Biden took showers with anybody other than his... spouse, and nothing wrong with that. David in Atlanta. David, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning, David.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Gayrard, is there a foundation for a legal cause of civil action against Trump, Hannity, and others who have repeatedly told the big lie that is undeniably a lie that the Biden administration took funds from FEMA and gave it to illegal aliens? FEMA workers have been harassed. Maybe their lives could be in jeopardy. Could those workers file suits against people like Trump
All right. What about?
I'm not aware of any ongoing action there. And would you? And you're speaking like it's gospel, and that's not the case. I think that's still in dispute.
Well, and I noted to a friend this morning at breakfast that Bob Woodward is on Trump's one-yard line now, and he makes some good points. But every statement Bob Woodward makes should be prefaced by the fact that Trump is suing him over his last book about Trump. So that is relevant. When somebody sues you, you're not likely to like them a lot for a little while anyway, Rarick.
Right, like when McKernan sued me. I didn't like that much.
And what did he sue you about?
Well, I made fun of him in a commercial where I had a person shooting a TV commercial on top of an 18-wheeler and falling off and getting slightly injured.
And you say, what was the line you said when?
I said, gee, are you okay?
James in Longview, Texas. James, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. And by the way, it's about time for Gordon to come back. He's a fun guest, too. And he's doing well. I hear he had $20 million for his budget for advertising last year. So
I thought it was a little higher than that, but it's up there.
Yeah. James in Longview, you're on.
Yeah, good morning, Jim. I hope you can hear me now. My microphone was off. Anyhow, basically, there's been a lot of talk about the so-called swing states. I just want to ask, do you think any of the so-called traditional states, regardless whether they're blue or red, might suddenly flip and change the whole ballgame, and they might be the emphasis?
Well, if that happens, yes. I still don't think it's going to happen, but I trust Jim Kitchens, who says Florida is now within 2 points. But 2 points in Florida, we're talking about a state that is now the third largest state in America. You're talking swing two votes. You're talking several hundred thousand votes that have to swing in the next couple of days, if the poll is accurate. So, but Florida would be, as I said, 30 electoral votes. If Harris wins in Florida, you can just call it a day. The race is over. But I do think in the end, the only SEC state that Trump may carry is in Georgia. He's 23-1 in the Southeastern Conference with 160 electoral votes. We are his base. Without the SEC, he would not be relevant, Eric Gayrard. So the SEC, which controls college football, also controls the presidential election to some extent.
I would say football fans tend to be for Trump.
Well, he's advertising heavily on, people would go, ha, 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 but he is advertising heavily on football.
Yeah.
And it's this macho thing that he's trying to project, and you're a workout guy, as am I, and we would not be seen in public if we looked like Donald Trump, but yet people accept that about him and view him as a tough guy. How do you square that?
Well, that's true. It's just his persona. And, you know, when he goes to the MMA places or the big college football stadiums, the crowd is overwhelmingly supportive of him. It's just amazing.
Yeah. He's the only U.S. president to ever be in the World Wrestling Entertainment Hall of Fame.
He even wrestled once.
He wrestled Vince McMahon.
He did.
And he won. Imagine that. He won and he cut. The deal was the loser had to lose his hair. He cut Vince McMahon's hair off. But, Eric, you're always fun to be with. We're in the home. We have time for another one? Yeah. Let's go to Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, you're on. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, I know it's legal, but do you think it's right that our elected officials own stock in Exxon and Grumman and heavy oil and military?
No, that's not right. Let's try one more caller. Let's go to Steve in Baton Rouge. Steve, I don't know where in Baton Rouge. Let's say Mid-City. Steve in Mid-City.
Steve Myers.
Steve in Mid-City. You're on. Good morning. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Yeah,
Mr. Gavard. How you doing, Jim? I had a great respect for you, but now I'm very disappointed at you.
Uh-oh. Why?
To support Donald Trump with all them lies. Lies after. You're a lawyer. People look up to you. Thank you.
All right. Well, Eric,
there's a lot of lying in politics.
Well, and I'll give Eric credit. He stands for whom he believes, and he believes in Donald Trump. And we'll see what happens, and we'll follow it with you. Back tomorrow, same time, same place. Until then, stay safe and stay tuned.